Thank you, Dan. I don't know if you're suffering from conference and H1N1 fatigue, but thank you for coming to this last presentation on H1N1, although I'm sure Dr. Wharton can't get by your summary without mentioning H1N1 at least once. Back up. I got the call from Dr. Shukat in mid-May to start thinking about how we're going to monitor the H1N1 vaccine program and have that ready by October. Excuse me. So the goals that were set forth were that the initial assessment for who's getting the H1N1 vaccine would be through the doses administered or CRA reporting. There have been several presentations on that. When about 40 million doses had been shipped out, then we would switch to surveys so the coverage might be high enough for those surveys to detect it. We were told that weekly estimates were needed for vaccine coverage. Not only vaccine coverage, but also intent for people to get vaccinated, reasons they weren't getting vaccinated, their opinions about vaccine, where they're getting vaccine. We had to cover the usual, the initial target groups, as Lynn laid out, and also we would have needed national and state level estimates. This was sort of like putting together a jigsaw puzzle. We have multiple existing systems, we had to add new systems, and we had to figure out how to get the right information about the right groups at the right time. And this is just sort of shows how what we put together, I'll explain what these acronyms mean in a minute. Those are the different survey systems and how they linked with information to the different target groups of children, adults, adults high risk, the healthcare workers, pregnant women, and household contacts of children less than 6 months. So we set up a new system called the National 2009 H1N1 Flu Survey, or NHFS. This is started in October and will be conducted through June by National Opinion Research Center out of University of Chicago. This is a random digit dialed telephone survey of about 6,000 households per month, and about 18% of the respondents were targeted to come from households that only had cell phone or mostly used cell phones for their phone service. We got additional children from the sampling frame of the National Immunization Survey, about 8,000 children per month. And we use this to provide weekly national H1N1 and seasonal vaccine coverage estimates. And again, we had not just coverage, but other behavioral aspects related to vaccination. The other mainstay of our system was the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, or BRFSS. This is run by CDC and conducted by the states in collaboration with CDC, conducted during the same time frame, also a random digit dial telephone survey, much bigger survey of 29,000 households per month. And for the flu vaccine questions, it was only landline households. For children, we got eventually 46 states to participate, along with DC, Puerto Rico, and US Virgin Islands. For adults, we got all those areas, and just one state did not participate. This was used to get monthly H1N1 and seasonal coverage estimates. It was a primary source of our state-level data. We also use it to get aggregate national estimates. Other systems, I'll just mention briefly, SDI, which is vaccinations administered and billed for in private provider offices to track the patterns of vaccination. There's a RAND Knowledge Network's Internet Panel Survey of Healthcare Personnel that you've probably heard about at the conference if you went to some of the healthcare worker sessions. Harvard School of Public Health had a cooperative agreement with CDC to conduct polls throughout the season. And we'll be getting data from the Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System, or PRAMS, which will provide large sample sizes of women who had recently given live birth, surveyed in 31 states. We just won't get that data until late summer, early fall. And then the National Health Interview Survey, excuse me, that's been our gold standard measurement and national in-person survey we've used to monitor healthy people 2010 and also will be using for 2020 objectives. We felt like there's an insatiable hunger for data at CDC once the vaccination campaign rolled out, and so we fed this beast with different data. We ended up creating a weekly slide set that it felt like it had about 100 slides. I'm not sure if it was quite 100. And sometimes we felt like the beast looked like this, and we joked in the halls that we were feeding the beast, and just putting a little humor, I guess, helped us with resilience and responding to the pressures of the situation. We published our first MOWR on January 15th, and it had national level estimates for different target groups. This slide shows the cumulative percent of the population 6 months and over that were vaccinated to date by H1N1, and the first part of the curve we presented in the MNWR, and this carries it out through the second week of April. You can see that there's some dips and ups and downs in the curve. This dip down here caused a lot of consternation to us and to the leadership at CDC. There must be something wrong with your survey. You must have done something wrong. You must have made a mistake. Cumulative coverage couldn't have gone down. Of course, it couldn't, but there's a random survey error that we ended up concluding this was. This blip up happened to be right before I presented at the ACIP meeting, so we were saying at that point 86 million people had been vaccinated, and now we're seeing a lower number, but that one of the lessons learned is that we need to improve methods of how we use this weekly data, which you've never had before. So we took people interviewed in November, and they tell us about who got vaccinated in October. People interviewed in December tell us about October and November vaccinations, and so on. And so we ended up using all the data to date to get improved estimates of coverage. And then this is what the curve looks like. It's more a smooth curve, this blue line. And that shows that coverage in the population sort of plateaued at about 27% from this survey. And to put that into perspective, we just took the doses shipped, cumulative doses shipped, and divided by the population. So this is doses shipped per 100 population. So it gives you an upper bound on what coverage could have been achieved. And what this shows is that pretty remarkably that the vaccine curve was about 2 or 3 weeks delayed from the shipment curve early on when the vaccine was coming out, and then it started to diverge as the vaccine supply caught up, but demand was going down because the disease had gone down. Initially, about 85% of doses were going to the initial target groups, and then that declined over time as more states, starting in December, started to open up vaccination to all groups. This is just showing that we monitored intent to get vaccinated early on, and the green bars represent who got vaccinated. So the magenta red bars are those who said they definitely planned to get vaccinated, and that turned out to be a pretty good predictor of where we ended up with coverage. The lighter yellow bars are people who said they probably would get vaccinated. Well, we don't believe them because that didn't bear out. There's still a lot of people saying they'll probably get vaccinated by June, but no one's getting vaccinated apparently. We published another MNWR on April 2nd. With state-level data, we used the Kaplan-Meier survival estimate approach to improve our enhanced method. We also combined surveys, the NHFS and BRFSS, and this was done to increase precision and to fill in gaps where BRFSS didn't provide the data, and also to provide timely estimates and not waiting until June to get state-level estimates for children. There's a black box behind how we did that, and this is just giving you some idea of what computations went into that combining. And Carolyn Furlow is our combo master in combining these surveys. So how many people did receive H1N1 vaccination? How many doses were administered? Our latest estimate is that through February, 72 to 81 million persons were vaccinated, and corresponding to about 81 to 91 million doses administered. The lower estimates are based on the combined BRFSS and NHFS data. Upper estimates are based on the NFHS data alone. And what we observed in doing this was that the BRFSS estimates tended to be a little lower than the NHFS estimates. And we're not really sure why. It may be because the NHFS is a standalone survey. CC wants to talk to you about flu, where BRFSS is a general health survey. And maybe people who are more likely vaccinated were more likely to self-select into that flu survey. We're still collecting and analyzing the data. And so these estimates may change. Dr. Schuchat was a masterful spokesperson for CDC and the country, but also in presenting our data. And she took pages of caveats that we gave her and turned it into one or two sentences to the press that really captured what we knew and what we didn't know. So this is just this is data that national estimates from the MNWR, not actually published in the MNWR, but the medians are pretty close to these that were published, and it just shows about 22% of people were vaccinated overall, higher percentage, 35% of children, about 18% of adults, 31% of the initial target group, about 23% of the higher risk 25 to 64 year olds, lower rate in other 25 to 64 year olds, and then about 22% in people 65 and over, and a lot of that vaccination happened later on in the campaign. Excuse me. We also published the RAND survey of healthcare workers on April 2nd, and that showed about 37% H1N1 vaccination, about 62% for seasonal by mid-January. It also showed that healthcare workers who reported having that their facility required them to get vaccinated were 3 to 8 times more likely to get vaccinated than other healthcare workers. We published initial estimates of pregnant women of 38% in the MNWR back in January, and this is just an update from BRFSS with different months of data. So there's some variation in that, but overall, you know, between 30 to 45% of pregnant women may have been vaccinated. Excuse me, and it's higher than we've seen for past seasonal. We'll get better data in a lot of states from the PRAMS later in the year. Well, did children get the second dose? So this is 6 months to 9 years of age. On this month of data in March, NHFS, about 40% of children this age group got at least one dose, 20% got two doses or more, and so about half of the children who started, you know, got their second dose. And for comparison, for the 6 to 23-month-old children, about 57% of children who got at least one were fully vaccinated. We did observe racial ethnic disparities, no surprise for seasonal vaccine, but maybe should not be a surprise too that we saw that particularly for adults for H1N1 vaccine with lower rates among blacks and Hispanics compared to whites. For children, from this month of data, the disparities for blacks versus whites were not statistically significant, but I think they were when we were combining data and looking at it more closely. We asked about opinions about vaccination. And we asked, do you think that the seasonal H1N1 vaccine is effective in preventing flu disease? H1N1 didn't fare as well at the beginning compared to seasonal, but got better over time. I think people seem to be a little bit more worried about getting sick from flu from seasonal than H1N1, and it declined for both over time. And then worrying that the vaccine might make people sick, more people were worried about H1N1 vaccine. But again, that declined over time, probably attributed to the communications messages that we're getting out there and experience and with reports that the vaccine was safe. Excuse me. There's a lot of information on here. It just shows that we can collect data on place of vaccination. I just want to highlight here that about 30% of children who got H1N1 vaccine reportedly got that in a school setting. We provided states with data from December and January for their use, detailed tables with comparisons to past season and national regional comparisons. We combined the BRFSS and NHFS. We got some good feedback, but in general, hopefully the states found this data useful. The MNWR on April 2nd also included the state level estimates. That was the main purpose of it. And this is the map from that that shows on the top the child coverage rates achieved, and then generally higher in all states than the adult coverage rates shown below. And there's also, we observed more variability in the child coverage across states than we did among adults. So our H1N1 and seasonal vaccination coverage by state correlated this season. So there was a strong correlation of 0.72% between, for children. So you could basically predict state level coverage for H1N1 based on what happened with seasonal coverage fairly well. For adults, also a similar correlation. Is H1N1 coverage by state correlated with past seasonal coverage? So here we have children, this is 6 to 23-month-old coverage by state, at a little lower correlation than the current seasonal child. For adults, also a little correlated, but not as high. I'll just leave it to anyone who wants to comment on that in the discussion, what that means. But one of the take-home messages, I think, is that there's opportunities to learn about the variations in state coverage, and can we identify best practices from that and lessons learned that we can use to improve coverage. But there's a lot of other things beyond state health department control, how the disease hit in different areas at different times that also play into it. We have another MNWR article scheduled for April 30th. This will provide seasonal coverage by state using the same methods as the H1N1 article. So I will run through just a summary of the coverage. So by end of February, over 70 million people had received over 80 million doses of H1N1 vaccine. Most doses went to target groups. Coverage is higher in children than adults. An estimated 31% to 38% of healthcare workers were vaccinated, and that's based on the three different surveys. The RAND survey had 37%. An estimated 30% to 45% of pregnant women were vaccinated. Of children less than 10 who were vaccinated, half received their second dose. H1N1 coverage in adults was significantly higher in whites than blacks or Hispanics. H1N1 coverage did not differ significantly by race or ethnicity among children, but we're going to relook at that with more data, particularly for the black children. The perceived effectiveness of and safety of H1N1 vaccine was lower than seasonal initially, but it improved over time during the campaign. Demand apparently dropped, corresponding with perception of risk going down as the disease was starting to fall off. School was the location of vaccination for about 30% of children, with a significant number. There's a large variation in H1N1 coverage by state, particularly for children. High levels of childhood coverage were achieved in some states, over 80% in Rhode Island for children. And 2009-10 and past seasonal coverage by state were predictive of coverage for the monovalent H1N1 vaccine. Any data based on surveys has caveats, but basically we're relying on self-report of people for their own vaccination and for their children. And the NHFS estimates were higher than the Burvis estimates, and that we need to figure out why. And then what do we present as the final estimates is a little trickier because of that. I think the data that the states are reporting to CDC on how many doses were unused, either still in storage or were discarded or expired, is going to help us validate the survey estimates by state later on. Our second wave of activity is actually well underway. We did the within season monitoring, and now we're doing post-season evaluation. We'll be working with Pascal and Sarah Clark to correlate the vaccine coverage data with the data collected on what the programs did this season. We also have a staff on board, so if any of you out there are state program people and want assistance or analysis of the Burvis data, we're just let us know. Now, this coming season, we've got a universal flu recommendation. We've got the monovalent H1N1 component added to the vaccine. I'm not sure how much people know about that so far, but we plan to do a similar monitoring system, although scaled back from what we did this year. We'll be getting Burvis data on a monthly basis. We'll be getting information from children from the NIS sampling frame. We'll be doing what we call snapshot surveys nationally and in 10 selected areas to be determined, and they'll be done in mid-November with results available for National Influenza Vaccination Week, and then a March snapshot, so we have a timely assessment of what coverage was overall right after the season's over. And these surveys will also include behavioral data as well as who got vaccinated. And then we'll be doing special population surveys mid-season in March in healthcare personnel and pregnant women. We'll continue to monitor through PRAMS using the SDI data, and also initiate a college health database to monitor vaccinations in college students. Now we added a question to the NHFS. Please think ahead to the upcoming flu season, that is the flu season that will begin in the fall of 2010. How likely are you to get a seasonal flu vaccination during the upcoming flu season? And so these are results that are just off the tables we got this week. Got a crystal ball in there just as a reminder that we can't really make predictions about what intent behavior is going to be in September or October, but this is just giving you some idea of what people are thinking right now. Before, they've probably really been, there's a lot of awareness of the universal recommendation and what the component of the vaccine will be. But in this sample from April 3rd to 10th, those pink bars are the 2009-10 H1N1 coverage levels, and then the seasonal coverage levels in green, a little higher than that. And then the blue, dark blue, is a proportion of people who said they definitely will get vaccinated or have their child vaccinated. And you can see that's very close to the the 40+% we got for seasonal. The lighter blue bars is those that we don't believe really necessarily will get vaccinated unless you knock on their door and give them $100 and say, well, stick you right now, and they'll do it. But we saw from this past that didn't bear out a very prediction. So that's for children. Adults is on the right-hand side, and you see that those who say they definitely will get vaccinated is a little lower than achieved for seasonal, but you know, these got fairly wide confidence intervals, and this is 1 week of data. We're going to continue to track this weekly through June. So to make some conclusions, that CDC established a comprehensive vaccine coverage monitoring system for 2009 H1N1 vaccine. Results from this system helped CDC and maybe some states manage their campaign. Further analysis of the data is aimed at providing useful information for future seasons. And some of the lessons we learned already from the assessment have been applied to plans for this coming season to monitor vaccination. And are there any immunization program managers out there? If there are, raise your hands. I see at least a couple of them. You might have noticed that we're not planning to pay states to use BRFRS to collect child flu vaccination data, nor healthcare worker data by state in BRFRS. So if you want that data, and I would recommend that you do that, make sure that you add that to the BRFRS. CDC is supporting the optional modules to do that. We pay resources to do that, but didn't have the resources to pay states to do that, and hopefully you can do that within your state. There's a competition within states for space on the survey. We realize that. So we're just advocating that you push to get those questions on. We'll help you analyze it if it's in there. The puzzle is complete. Well, at least for this presentation is over, but you know, there's still a lot of information we have to sort out and figure out how to present and really aiming to try to help guide the future vaccine campaigns. I'd like to acknowledge the H1N1 vaccine coverage monitoring team. And if I know you guys are out there, need to stand up this time because no one did when Ann Schuchat mentioned it. So please stand up and take the acknowledgement. I think it was a great team effort. Thank you guys for all that you've done. I'm just here to sort of a spokesperson, but you all are doing the work. So I appreciate that. And I also appreciated talking to some of the county health officers who ran some of the flu clinics and actually implemented this program and saw their dedication and saw presentations from the state health departments and the incredible amount of work they did. I think everybody did a fantastic job with this. You know, we're putting out coverage data by state, and some are high and some are low. We're not trying to make judgments on that. I think everybody did a great job, and we're going to be working with Pascal's group to sort of figure out what lessons can be learned, and we appreciate any feedback you have for us, any help you want with interpreting or getting data. So thank you.